It's Friday!
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this final broadcast for the month of October 2020. By the time we meet again on Moran Monday, we will be 24 hours away from the end of the 2020 election and the beginning of the chaos. I hope it won't be chaos. Really and more truly, I do hope it won't be chaos. Yeah, hi, I'm Bob, and it is Friday on the front porch here in a fairly short amount of time. If you will be so kind as to go to headon.live and click the button there, it'll carry you into the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, and we will gather around the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that we keep in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, and see what's on everybody's minds for the end of the week. Newcomers are always welcome. If you can't, for some reason or another, can't handle the Skype line, or can't manage Skype, then you've always got the stress line. The stress line will be open to 844-843-8476, 844-THE-HORN. And hopefully a good time will be had by all. Let's see, I did the hi, I'm Bob part. Yep. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is, in fact, no different. But being as it's the 30th day of the month, we're not exactly swamped with PayPal subscribers because, well, there's some weird that goes on at the end of the month, and anything past the 29th gets converted to some other day. So that's why that is. But the final broadcast day of the month is the day that we thank all of our Patreon subscribers, and so that works out nicely. So thank you very kindly to Eve, a brand new subscriber as of the middle of the month. And thank you to Rico and DeBerg. Thank you for misconduct. Thank you. Thank you to Katie. And thank you to John. Thank you to JR. Thank you to Steve. And thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Thank you, Prince. Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you, Irwin out in Montana. Thank you, Kay. Thank you to Mike in Cascadia. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, John, out on the Great Plains. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you to Oak. Thank you to Dave number 11. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Michael of the Guffins. Thank you, Balmer Bob. Thank you, Brock. Thank you to Jeff in Slow. Thank you, James. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you to James. Thank you to Ruth. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Annette. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Alex. Thank you to Albert in North Carolina. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you to Vernon in San Diego. Thank you to Glenn. Thank you to Kat in Ohio. Thank you, John. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you to Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Alec. Thank you, the Danubian. Thank you to Carl. Thank you for the second time to Irwin. Thank you to Steve in New York. And I think I hate it when the interface behaves strangely, because I was on such a roll. Well, I may be missing some of you, but it's not for want of trying. The next page doesn't want to load. It says it's showing, but it isn't. Well, that's just weird. If I missed your name, please let me know, and I will make sure and correct that and announce it on air, because we appreciate and we value all of our Patreon subscribers. And additional thanks going out. Thanks to Elizabeth earlier in the day, just a little bit ago. And thanks very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you. And this note from Andy the Angry Jew. Last week, one of the most influential singer-songwriters in my life passed away. Famous for Mr. Bojangles. I got exposed to Jerry around 1975. He was very underrated and wrote some tremendous songs. Play on, Gypsy Songman. I'm talking about Jerry Jeff Walker. And I saw that news, and it was indeed sad. He wrote it. And he gets mentioned. Isn't Jerry Jeff Walker mentioned in two songs at least? One of them is the Lookin' Back Texas. Between Hank Williams' Pain songs and Newberry's Train songs, Blue Eyes. Nope, wait. Okay, I was wrong. But there is there's a definite mention in. Let's see. I got to think for a second here. It's a Jimmy Buffett tune. I wish a summer squall would blow them all way up to fantasy land. Dang it. I'll have it in a second now. That guy, Andy, you got me fretting now. Okay, here we go. There it is. I'm just living in the sunshine, stay contented most of the time. Yeah, listen to Murphy, Walker, and Willis sing me their Texas rhymes. That's Migration from Jimmy Buffett's A1A. I knew there was a bit, yeah. So thank you. Thank you for the contribution, and thank you for the dedication to Andy, Andy the Angry Jew. And so between Andy and Jeremy and Elizabeth, let's see, we've actually got the fundraising goal down to $590 for the evening, and for the week, and for the month. We will finish October to the good if we can knock out $590 this evening. Much appreciated indeed. So, that's where it all begins. And this is, of course, Friday on the Front Porch. Sorry I got a little bit diverted there, but I knew there was a lyric. I knew there was a reference. Mm-hmm. Because, among other things, I heard an interview with Jimmy Buffett I saw it not too long back. Where he said that he ran around with Jerry Jeff Walker, but he couldn't keep up with him in terms of partying. There it is. There it is. It's, thank you. Thank you, James in Illinois. It's the second time through on Luckenbach, Texas. The second time through the refrain, he says, Newberry's Pain Songs and Jerry Jeff's Train Songs. There we are. There we are. Aha. Yeah, thanks, Dave, number 11. He's also in Luckenbach, Texas, but not in every chorus. There it is. So I was right the first time-ish. Yay. But anyway, thanks. Thanks, Andy. Much appreciated. And so that'll we'll get things going. I guess this would technically be, if last Friday, if our horniversary was on Saturday last week and we celebrated it on Friday, then Halloween is tomorrow. So I guess this is the official Halloween program. I don't really have any spooky stuff lined up. And frankly, this Halloween, with what with the COVIDiots and the mask holes and whatnot, is a, as I've said before, is a hell of a lot more trick than treat. So we'll figure out a way to cope. And then, of course, this to get the program started. Bob! Giraffrey and I have the wonderful pleasure of working with one of the greatest caregivers of all time, and that would be the one and only Rosa Clark. Rosa does all the heavy work around Richard's condo, while Jeffrey and I do, what the hell do we do? What the hell do we do anyway, Jeffrey? Rosa does it all. Rosa was even nice enough to sew a button back on Jeffrey's pants when the button had fallen off. Now, if you've ever tried to sew the button on a giraffe's pants, you know that it's a complicated enterprise. There are ladders involved. Now, Jeffrey usually doesn't wear pants, mind you. What's that, Giraffrey? Giraffrey snores.
Yes, I do wear the pants where it concerns Joey's Journal, because without my high-browed wisdom, Joey's Journal would not have a pant leg to stand on.
Replies Joey, well, I guess Giraffrey dressed me down there. Okay, that's somewhere between what Todd was talking about, letting the cowbell speak. That's not quite a full-throated, and it's not quite the, but it's a cowbell. There were two thoughts that came to mind when I first met Rosa, with the first thing being her name is so close to Rosa Parks, the famous civil rights activist who was, well, not taking a backseat to anybody. Ooh, there's another one. And her efforts were no walk in the park, as she would no longer tolerate being forced to sit in the back of the bus. Yet just 2 months after Jackie Robinson and the Dodgers won their first World Series in October of 55, Rosa Parks was arrested on December 1st of that year for the outrageous crime of sitting in the front seat of a bus as a black woman. The second thought was, I've seen many pictures of Jackie Robinson with his beautiful wife Rachel from the 1950s when the Robinsons were in their 30s, and Rosa Clark just looks very much like a young Rachel Robinson, who is still alive and well at 98 years young, living in Los Angeles. Yes, Jeffrey, Giraffrey says, I'd like to send a busload of roses to Rosa. Jeffrey, I think some roses for Rosa in honor of Rosa Parks on this December 1st, the 65th anniversary, would be wonderful. Not that this is December 1st, but come December 1st. Giraffrey continues,
actually, I propose that we present the roses on December 3rd, since that will be Thorn in the Side Thursday, and of course we know every rose has its thorn.
Really? Yes. You can't let Giraffe get the big head, because as a giraffe, he's already got a big enough one.
And moreover, might we send some black roses to congratulate Scalia Cloney Ferret, the new Supreme Court Justice. We shall procure the flowers from the nursery, considering this bitch sounds like a nursery school child. Oh, dear.
Very good, Jeffrey. I think she sounds like a ferret and makes about as much sense as one. She sounds like the old Budweiser ferret. That's exactly from the magnificent ads with, you know, Louis and, you know, the ferret. That's not French! Yes, and there's the answer to yesterday's trivia. Both civil rights activist greats Jackie Robinson and Rosa Parks died on the same day, October 24th. Not in the same year. As we said yesterday, Jackie died in 72, and we lost Rosa Parks in 2005. As I look out my office window here at Gojo Towers, I can see Rosa Parks Drive, and that road is so aptly named because Rosa Parks had a lot of drive in her quest to put the civil rights of African Americans in the front row. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday on the Front Porch, October the 30th, with Giraffe looking through his Rosa-colored glasses. All right, Rosa-colored glasses gets a full cowbell, definitely. And just as an addendum to all of that, I don't know if Giraffe knows this, but the incident with refusing to move to the back of the bus did not happen spontaneously. No, it was planned. And what had started out as a non-segregated labor school in the hills of East Tennessee, the Highlander Center, what had begun as that sort of labor school turned out to be the activism university for people like Rosa Parks and Dr. King himself. So there's that. And so the evening begins with the Roses for Rosa $100 challenge. Thank you, Joey, and thank you, Giraffe. Even with the puns, thank you. Because he who would pun would pick a pocket. But we have that challenge on the table, and that's magnificent because, well, if that challenge is met, we will be down to only what? We will, okay, so Wednesday is finished. We're working on last night, and at, what did I say? That'd take us down to 390, and we'd be $90 away from done with this evening. So the challenge is there. Thank you very kindly to Joey and Giraffe. Oh yeah, okay, and a little piece of Jerry Jeff Walker trivia. That's right. David in South Carolina, Stan, reminding me Jerry Jeff Walker co-wrote "Railroad Lady" with Jimmy Buffett. You know, train songs. Indeed. Well, I have a feeling that's just Randy Radar says, with the awful traffic around here, you wouldn't know that a pandemic was even going on. Well, a lot of people are going to find out there is one going on, and they're going to find out the hard way. And it's damn tragic and getting more so. I don't know if you caught this, but Junior, Donnie the Dumber, actually said yesterday that almost no one gets the coronavirus. When actually another American gets it something less than every 5 seconds. Which leads to the question, you know, if he's got a plan to beat it, why hasn't he beaten it yet? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. They have, at least according to them. Jesus. Wow. Yeah. Want more Halloween, Lee in New York says? How about the classic Star Trek episode, Cat's Paw? That's a good one. And, of course, last week, Dan Fisher and I were discussing the short story by Brees DJ Pancake. And I had meant to and forgot to look it up. Namely, the short story. But there's only one book. It's called The Short Stories of Brees DJ Pancake. And if you are a literature fan, you really should make it part of your library because it's magnificent. Let's see. I think I can tell you in fairly short order. That's what I want. Ah, yes. Table of contents. Daggum it. Okay. Yeah, well, I can't remember. I can't remember the title, but it's a book of short stories, and if I took the time to go through it, I would tell you in a moment. But just get that book because it is all of it amazing. You know, Joyce Carol Oates, speaking of him, said, and you know, magnificent writer that she was, is, not sure, described him as a young writer of such extraordinary gifts that one would compare his debut to that of Hemingway. In fact, somewhere back in the archives, I read that story on Halloween at one time. Mm-hmm. All right, so where do we go then? Well, here's another giggle. A couple more. I got a playlist from Dave number 11. Comment, fuck Trump. Here's a list of the top chair dancers not written for the club. Addicted to Love, Robert Palmer, Black Velvet, Alana Miles. Boogie on Reggae Woman, Sir Duke, Master Blaster, Superstition, Stevie Wonder, Brown Eyed Girl, Van Morrison. Van Morrison gets an asterisk now that he's a maggot or whatever. He's a COVIDiot. Burning Down the House, Talking Heads, Dancing in the Moonlight. I love that. King Harvest, Dixie Chicken, Little Feet, classic. Enter Sandman, Metallica, sure. FM, Steely Dan, Did You Think I'd Leave Off Walter's Greatest Guitar Work? No, hell no. Genius of Love, Tom Tom Club, Get Off My Cloud, The Stones, Because of Pirate Radio. Hey Ya by Outkast, Hit the Road Jack by Ray Charles, Hot Stuff by Donna Summer, Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. Jack Black almost steals this. Man in the Box by Alice in Chains, Mercury Blues by David Lindley. Money Money by Billy Idol over Tommy James Because of the Mix. Radar Love by Golden Earring, the world's most patient drummer. I added that part. Just sits there with that one riff for 7 minutes till he finally gets to go absolutely, absolutely wild. Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Rock and Roll Part 2 by Gary Glitter. Rock Steady by Aretha Franklin. Rock With You by Michael Jackson. God, I love that. Earth, Wind, and Fire, September. Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, Sly Stone, and the thousands of funk bands that ripped this off. Ballroom Blitz by The Sweet, LOL. Theme from Shaft, Isaac Hayes. Walk Like an Egyptian, The Bangles. Wild Thing, Tone Loc. Wishing Well, Terrence Trent D'Arby. Ooh, I haven't heard that one in a long time. Word Up, Radio Edit, Cameo. You Sexy Thing, Hot Chocolate. You Shook Me All Night Long, AC/DC, and You're No Good, Linda Ronstadt. I'm just going to turn that into a playlist. Because that's freaking awesome, Dave. And Joyce Carol Oates is still alive. David in South Carolina, Stan lets me know she's still above ground, wandering around Princeton every now and then. Good! Because I'm getting tired of the list of people that the damn pandemic has taken from us, or taken from us in this pandemic year. Some additional moniker possibilities for our presidents from Dennis in Columbus. Typhoid Trump, the plague president, super spreader in chief with Captain Comeover at the helm. They practically write themselves. I know. And then I got something from Carl. Hopefully you'll get a kick out of this. From a longtime caramel colored listener, enjoy. And I did indeed, and I've actually got it queued up. It kind of blew my mind. I'm a I'm a song. We'll just let it go for a minute. Funk. Thanks, Carl. That may be the funkiest I have ever been. Funky, funky, funky. Yes, that is awesome. Thanks, Carl. Just fantastic. And if you heard that early part of that clip, yes, sharing mic duties with Peter Noon. No kidding. Wow. Just wow. So, what Don Jr. said, he said, almost nobody dies on the day that 978 Americans died. We're all fucking nobodies to him, though, James points out. We need to find something to put that asshole in jail for. I'm sure there's something. Oh, trust me, Letitia James is looking. There was a story today. Some of the money laundering in New York that none of them will be pardoned for. Yeah. Oh, not just Don Jr. I want to see Eric the Dumber, because it's Donnie the Dumber and Eric the Dumber. Tweedledum and Tweedledumber. And Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump Kushner. They all got to go. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, and by the way, just from a pop culture standpoint, Agnes and I had a blast last night. I didn't even know that there was a remake of Rocky Horror, but there is. It was made in 2016. And Laverne Cox played Dr. Frankenfurter. Wow. It was a respectable remake. But the fun part of it was that they did it as a movie within a movie because there was an audience there to watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and they brought their toast and they had their newspaper and all of that, and Tim Curry played the criminologist with Ben Vereen playing Dr. Scott and Adam Lambert playing Eddie. It was entertaining. It was really, really entertaining. No, Brother Deacon Asa. Dave number 11's playlist. Big omission from that list, which I'm sure was just an oversight by our dear friend Dave number 11. Bob Seger's Turn the Page. Asa and I have been having this fight for years now because he knows how much I hate that song. Yeah, also, multiple cowbells for that remix from Carl. Yes. Glad. Thank you for the reminder. Yeah, Carl, that's a hell of a remix and cowbell for it. Wow. So, Lee in New York says, it's not just getting COVID. Someone got COVID and flu. California resident gets co-infection with flu and coronavirus. Is this rare? Well, if it is right now, it probably ain't going to be. But I can tell you know how we complain about sometimes we complain about stupid ads. I have already had my belly full of the shingles vaccine ad, where the 50-plus hip white lady is informed that there is something you can do about shingles, and she says, what? And then she tells her husband, who says the same thing. And I know we've had enough when Agnes just deadpans, I'm going to kill her. That's noxious. But, you know, from my standpoint, I'm just trying to hang on to sanity until, well, we can get to, till we can get to Tuesday and beyond. Because there's some seriously weird shit out there. Like what happened on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, the Fox channel in Detroit recently. They were testing their crawler for election night during The Bachelorette this past Tuesday. Fox TV Detroit mistakenly displayed on screen for next week's presidential election the outcome. The story, which also comes from Fox News, says as the drama unfolded between Claire and Yosef, I got nothing. I don't know from The Bachelorette. On the reality show, viewers took to social media to note that WXYZ-TV seemed to accidentally post 2020 election results during the broadcast on the left side of the screen. The display showed President Donald Trump had defeated his opponent, Joe Biden, in the state. It also showed projections for several other local races, despite Election Day being, you know, a week away. WXYZ-TV told Fox News in a statement that the results were randomly generated as part of a test of the system they'll use on the actual election day that was mistakenly broadcast during The Bachelorette. And here's the question. How do you randomly generate phony election results that show that Nitwit Nero wins by more than that he had won by 50% over Biden with 100% of the vote reported? Oh, well, you know, I mean, it's Fox. What do you want? Mistakes. Mistakes will happen. Meanwhile, Dave number 11 says, shot down in a blaze of glory. My shame knows no end. Truly, it is the night Chicago died. Sorry, everyone, for leaving off turn the page. Ouch. You know, you just know how to hurt a guy, Asa. You gotta be a little more careful with your brother deaconing powers. I mean, just saying. Yes, I'd say so. Megan wants to know the shingles vaccine ad more obnoxious than the four guys singing and banjos about Cialis. Okay, point taken, but still, yeah, obnoxious. What? I bet if I say that too many more times, Agnes will come in here and just kill you. Yeah. And, you know, that how again, Donnie the Dumber, Tweedledum, almost no one gets it, almost no one dies. Well, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported earlier this week and updated it today. Wisconsin is on track to run short of ICU beds in 2 to 6 weeks. Not only will they run out of ICU beds in 2 to 6 weeks, they will run out of nurses to staff them in as little as 2 weeks if they do not get a handle on the virus and its spread. And that information arrives as along with this, the knowledge that, Republicans in Wisconsin are doing everything they can to make sure that the virus does spread. the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting, given the trajectory of new cases, the number of COVID-19 patients being treated could double in 2 to 6 weeks, according to Bill Milms, chief medical officer for Marshfield Clinic Health System. There's nothing magical about this math, Milms said. Every single positive increases the probability of, or likelihood of having another patient who is hospitalized. Remember Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, who back last 4th of July went out to that desecrated sacred Native American site that they call Mount Rushmore and LARPed and smollocked all over Nitwit Nero. And then they had their, it wasn't even super spreader. It was like a mega spreader, a terra spreader, a penta spreader there at that motorcycle rally. Almost one in two people in South Dakota now have the Rona. I kid you not. One in two. It's almost. It's 48%. But, you know, they don't need no masks out in South Dakota because it's not going to affect them. And hardly nobody dies from it. They don't, you know, South Dakota doesn't have the population to really be able to afford a whole bunch of people dying off. And I'll bet you South Dakota's population's kind of, you know, olderish in the first place. Wouldn't you figure? So even though fewer than four out of about 3.5% of people who get the Rona end up in the hospital, but of that 3.5%, 25% require time in the ICU. So say this past Tuesday in Wisconsin, when 5,200 people tested positive for the Rona on Tuesday, 36 of them will end up in the ICU, and they may very well be there for weeks. One day's worth. When almost 28,000 people have tested positive in Wisconsin in a 7-day period. That's 200 of them requiring ICU care. And the most horrifying part of all of this is that, well, it shows no sign of slowing. Genuinely, genuinely terrifying. So there's that. So what you really need is a cure. So let's check in with Lance Wallnau. You've heard of, we've talked about him before, mainly on Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Oh, and let me make mention of something. Carl's funk track, Cut a Rug. Yeah, it, you can find it over on SoundCloud. The artist is Tam Tam, T-A-M hyphen T-A-M, and the track is called Cut a Rug. So I'm sure Carl would love it if you would go over and give it a listen. Because it's a heck of a track. And again, thank you. Thank you very much, Carl. So, Lance Wallnau? Well, there's hope for the Rona, I guess, because Lance Wallnau, get a load of this. Never mind. Lance Wallnau claims that via a live stream, he says that he prayed for Flush Flimball, who has announced that his cancer is terminal. Well, it's been terminal for a long time. Lance Wall now announced, we're reversing the curse on Russia's body. And as Hemant Mehta said over at the Friendly Atheist, amazing how Wall now has all that power but spends his time spreading nonsense on Facebook when he could be in a children's cancer ward. Yeah, no. No, he's not. But get up and walk, Rush! Maybe you can get a cigar box full of money and walk out somewhere in Florida and get yourself another box of street drugs. And a note coming in from Jimmy in the Great Northwest. To those undecided voters, remember the Republicans do what the OJs told you. They smile in your face, those backstabbers. Yes. Yes, indeed. So, and we'll let that one go. There's a new Lincoln Project ad out. Comes from Mark Anthony. And as we get closer and closer, I give it to the Lincoln Project. They are leaving no stone unturned. I just don't trust them. And I think that's okay. But they are doing everything they promised that they would do.
This is Mark Anthony. Our island and our people have suffered from natural disasters, COVID, and a wrecked economy. We have also suffered from another disaster, a president who treats Puerto Ricans with insults and contempt, who withholds aid and laughs at our suffering.
I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack.
Who jokes he should sell our island.
Puerto Rico.
Who treats us as if we're not American citizens who have fought and bled for this country. But Puerto Ricans came together to rebuild because we are strong and resilient. Puerto Ricans deserve better than Trump because we are better than Trump. Better than his contempt.
Speak English.
Better than his neglect.
I'm the best thing that ever happened to Puerto Rico.
Better than his lies.
Puerto Rico was an incredible, unsung success.
On November 3rd, Puerto Ricans will send Trump a clear message. We remember the lies. We remember the disrespect. We remember you left too many of us to die. This is Mark Anthony, and I urge all of you to join me and vote him out.
The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
That was fierce. I don't think he's going to do so great in Puerto Rico, do you? No. And I realized that Pete Buttigieg isn't anywhere nearly ideologically pure enough. But he was on the stump in St. Pete down Florida, and he was there to help mobilize the LGBTQ QQIA community to get out and vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, get out and vote for them like their very lives depend upon it, you know, because it does. When, of course, a maggot showed up. And not just any maggot, a COVIDiot mask hole maggot. And give him credit because he handled him like a pro.
Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. Y'all can do your own event, sir.
Yeah, hold on. Trump 2020!
Oh, no, that's all right. Wouldn't it be nice to have a president who will serve him just as enthusiastically as he'll serve us? Wouldn't it be nice to have a president who cares just as much about protecting the lives of those who protest us as those who stand at our side? Wouldn't it be nice to have a president who does not believe in violence against those who disagree with us? Are you not proud to be an American in a country that makes room for all of us, but whose values include rejecting hate and rejecting those who would deny science when it could save lives, rejecting racism, and embracing one another for a better future for this country? And don't you feel a little sorry for a president who finds it necessary to draw this kind of support?
Ouch.
But it's okay, sir, because when Joe Biden is president, you will be safer too. I want to thank the mayor. The job of mayor has never been more demanding or more difficult. And yet mayors are getting things done.
I give Pete Buttigieg credit for being a better person than I am, because you can barely hear him in the background, but the maggot, with, of course, his mask serving as a chin strap, is garbulating and blobbling and yakking all, hollering at the top of his lungs. He just can't quite make it into Pete's microphone. No. But Pete very easily could have just pointed a finger, and security could have come over and tackled the stupid little prick. I don't know, maybe tased him. I mean, he's a white guy, so they probably wouldn't have put their knee on his neck or anything. But they could have roughed him and cuffed him and stuffed him and gotten him out of there. But instead, Buttigieg just let him babble on and on with all the shit that he's heard on and seen on, you know, that website that rhymes with light and fart, or talking points that he got from little Tucky, who's notes got eaten. Well, didn't get eaten by a dog or anything else. It just turned out to be total bullshit. Yeah. And so the story becomes, instead of poor, innocent, peaceful Trump supporter tackled and it turns into a story of how brilliantly Pete Buttigieg handled this filthy little disease-spewing maggot. And that's, you know, that's quality. He got heckled in Iowa, too, Pete Buttigieg did. I mean, he's living up to his end of the bargain. He's getting out there. He's campaigning. He's traveling. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different heckler. That's a different time. But he's got the poise to manage these freaks, and did a damn good job. And I used to be, Steve in New York pointing out, the heckler, of course, they could really have abused him by taking him to McDonald's rather than Burger King. And Trey in Kentucky stand pointing out, Pete goes on Fox, too, and Trey was anticipating what I was about to say, as a matter of fact, because I'm generally not a big fan of going on Fox, you know, for Democrats to go on Fox. It seems like an act of futility. That there's not a lot of point to it, and that it's more likely to result in things bad than things good. But he turned that on its ear, too. He goes on Fox News, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, where he is interrogated about, because they were all ready. They was going to get him. They had their gotcha question ready. Remember gotcha questions? Mussolini invented that. It's a gotcha question. I don't mean Mango Mussolini. I mean, you know, Caribou Barbie. Godzilla from Wasilla. Yeah. No, he went on Fox News, and Martha McCallum asked him, you know, well, isn't Kamala Harris just such a hypocrite because she endorsed Medicaid for All, and now she doesn't endorse Medicaid for All? What's up with that? It didn't work out well for Martha McCallum. And everybody on the network saw her get, you know, owned.
You give us some insight into what she might say to justify why she was for Medicare for All then and is not for it now, for example.
Well, there's a classic parlor game of trying to find a little bit of daylight between running mates. And if people want to play that game, we could look into why an evangelical Christian like Mike Pence wants to be on a ticket with a president caught with a porn star, or how he feels about the immigration policy that he called unconstitutional before he decided to team up with Donald Trump. If folks want to play that game, we could do it all night. But I think what most Americans want to hear about is, are our families going to be better protected than they have been by this president who's failed to secure America in the face of one of the most dangerous things ever to happen to our country?
Ouch! Megan says, all that wig snatching. All that wig snatching Pete's been doing on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and at rallies is enough to make RuPaul proud. That gets cowbell, Megan. Lee in New York. Biden as, Pete Buttigieg as Biden's first press secretary? I don't think so. I think he's going to get something a little further up the food chain. If we can get Biden, you know, past the finish line. Because at this point in time, that's absolutely critical. It's been critical all along. But we got to finish the job. We got to win. And, of course, I think most of us in the Horn Family Community Congregation have already done our part. Most of us here have already voted, I suspect. As to the Lincoln Project, Scott in San Diego says, I'll say this for them. They've been successfully living rent-free in Trump's head since they started. I do wonder what will become of all that empty space in Trump's skull once he's gone. Maybe rent that expanse for a boat show or something. It's not big enough for a boat show. Come on, Scott. It's not when you get right down to it. There's not enough volume space in there to drown a piss ant. Big brain indeed. Oh, and, you know, Georgia's in play. John Ossoff has a slim lead. Looks like Reverend Raphael Warnock will probably make it into the senatorial runoff in January if he doesn't win outright. Remember, 50% plus .0001 wins. And the last I heard, he's polling somewhere around 30%. Imagine this. Imagine this. If Raphael Warnock, and maybe it probably won't happen this way, but it's just something to ponder because of the politics involved with it. If Raphael Warnock is the top vote getter, and let's say he gets, let's give him 47% of the vote. And, of course, you know, Doug Mouthful of Collards, Collins gets a hunk, and Kelly Loeffler, by the way, Kelly Loeffler, who somehow miraculously has no idea what the Access Hollywood tape was. That was a news story of late. I laughed merrily when I saw the story. Yeah, she was asked on CNN because she was doing her best to get her head so far up Donald Trump's posterior that you could see her smiling face when he yawns or fish breathes. Well, she was asked about the Access Hollywood tape. You know, the grab them by the... Right. And when she was pressed on it...
Kelly, can you name something that President Trump has said or done that you disagree with?
No, because I am proud to be the only U.S. senator with a 100% voting record with President Trump.
You, on the campaign trail, you've been boasting about having a 100% pro-Trump voting record. Is there any issue in which you disagree with the president on?
No, look, the president, like myself, he's a political outsider. He's a business person. He's a conservative champion fighting to put America first. That's what I went to Washington to do.
You were asked during the debate last week if President Trump had said or done anything that you disagreed with. You know that President Trump was caught on tape talking about sexually assaulting women. You didn't disagree with that. What does that say?
Look, what I agree with is the approach President Trump has taken since day one to put America first. What I am here focused on is working for Georgians in Washington.
And you're still not disagreeing with that particular thing that President Trump said. You're still not disagreeing with that.
Sorry, what are you referring to?
You're still not disagreeing with President Trump's statements about personally sexually assaulting women.
I'm not familiar with that.
The Access Hollywood tape. He's referring to the Access.
Yeah, no. Look, this president is fighting for America. That's what I'm fighting for, to make sure that every American has their chance to live the American dream.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the reason Kelly Loeffler, remember, her husband is a very, very busy man. He runs the New York Stock Exchange. And so, back during the campaign, during 2016, when we all found out about the Access Hollywood tape, Kelly Loeffler she didn't hear about it. She's the only person in the entire new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth today, now, forever, in the universe, under God, who didn't hear about the Access Hollywood tape, but she didn't hear about it. And you know why? Because she was real, real busy insider trading that whole time. Mm-hmm. Yes. She's a very busy woman. And all she knows is she's an outsider. She's an outsider in Georgia. I mean, she probably orders her grits individually. Yes, I'll have one grit and perhaps another grit after. She's an outsider. And she just wants to work, make America great, just like Donald Trump does. Yes. Great googly moogly. And the funny thing is, people like Manu Raju and the other members of the press there don't smarten up the chump. They don't tell her, I mean, they say, you know, sexual assault. Talking about, and then Manu Raju says, you know, he's talking about the Access Hollywood. Well, I don't know nothing about no Access Hollywood tape. Senator Prissy. So, you know, I mean, that insider trading takes up a lot of time. And if you ain't never done it, you don't understand. Look, I agree with the approach President Trump has taken since day one to put America first. What I'm focused on is working for Georgians in Washington and being their voice and being a conservative champion for Georgians. So, in other words, you don't want to be no liberal Georgian's voice right there, Senator. Holy mackerel. Well, anyway, the whole thought experiment I was engaged in, and Dave number 11 reminded me that Raphael Warnock has a 41% among 20 candidates, according to the Monmouth poll. That's a 20-point lead. Still, he's got to get better than 50% if he doesn't want to be in a runoff. Because if you've got 41%, but whoever the Republican is pulls together all the Republicans, and then, you know, that's usually how it works. That's how you lose. But I just want us to ponder this thought experiment, namely, and to wit, what if, as of Tuesday evening, when all the hooting and barking and shouting's over, what if Raphael Warnock has 47% of the vote? And then, of course, it's either Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins or the Kelly Insider Trader, Kelly Stock Dumper, with whatever their percentage is. But what if Matt Lieberman gets, 3.1% of the vote? Will the decent Democrats of Georgia chase Matt Lieberman all the way back to Connecticut? And I know, Darlene, I know you don't want him back in Connecticut neither. But you have to remember, that is why Matt Lieberman is in that race and has refused to exit the race. That's why he is on the ballot. Because in a crazy-ass race like that, something as little as getting 2 or 3% of the vote can be the difference between Raphael Warnock going to the Senate and Raphael Warnock being tied up in a deliberate rat-fuck runoff. And that was the thought experiment there. At that point in time, we will find out that the apple falleth not far from the tree, that the acorn falleth not far from the oak, and that the turd, as pointed out before, falleth not far from the asshole. Lieberman's gonna Lieberman. Ugh. Yeah. So we're at the end of the first hour of the program for this Friday on the Front Porch. I'm getting ready to go to the front porch right now. Please remember the Rosa-Colored Glasses Challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffrey, is on the table. We're trying to finish on this last broadcast day of October. We're trying to finish October okay. And if we can meet the Rosa-Colored Glasses Challenge, that'll get us down to 390, and the next 390 then will finish October. This is the sweatiest end of a month we've had in a while, and it's really kind of important because I'm trying to get us going as well as I can into November. So I know it's hard. I know it's rough. Nobody has to give 500. Nobody has to contribute $590. We don't have to knock out the whole 100 of Joey's challenge. We do this with a bunch of people working together. But yeah, thank you. I got all wrapped up in what we were talking about, and I forget to mention it. But it is the only way this program continues. So hopefully the challenge gets met, and then we go to work on the other 390. Sincerely, please. So let's go over and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bob. I'm just sitting here watching cows and being the ball.
Be the ball, Sparky. Be the ball.
Hey, I got to see Jerry Jeff Walker in New York City in 2006.
Really? How cool.
At B.B. King's Club. It's right off of Times Square.
Oh, neat. And yeah, I see you folded space, so it must be kind of decent there today.
Yeah, it's decent. I mean, it's probably around 80, maybe.
Yeah, see, this is that part of the year where we flip, because it's shitty here. And here in the studio, it is all of 60 degrees, and not that anybody even wanted to be reminded of that, but Naked Radio is over again. We will soon be in Long John's Radio, I fear.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I can hear the grief in your voice, Sparky.
Well, it'll be another month or so before I even have to run the heater while I'm out here.
So Ferg and I were talking the other day. When does weather start turning decent out that way? Because he's getting the itch to maybe find some. He likes it out there. And if he could figure out a way to get out there and be stable and you know, have work he could rely on and everything, he'd be gone in a minute. And was looking at a possibility a month and a half or so ago, and the timing was just all wrong, and he was in the middle of the convenience store adventure. But when does it begin warming up again?
Where does he want to go?
Well, I mean, let's just use where you are as an example for starting.
Yeah, but the valley warms up quicker than the mountains or the high country.
Yeah.
Like where he was before on the other side of Mount Shasta, that doesn't warm up till April.
Yeah, see, that's what I was telling him. It was like, no, it'll start turning February, March. I was like, son, I don't think so.
Oh, it turns early down here in the valley. I mean, we've had all the trees bloom in like February before. And it has to get to a certain temperature. It will set them off. So, I mean, I've seen 80 degree days in January here. So it's,
wow.
It can be anywhere. Because I remember the day I got laid off in January of 2009, it was 80 degrees that day. And I was working right here in Red Bluff on the Shasta College satellite campus they have here. But the weather's weird out here sometimes.
Well, the weather's weird, and sometimes the fire's weirder and awfuler.
Yeah, but all fires are out up here, but except one little fire way up out of Hoopah, and Roger knows what I'm talking about. I feel like he was in here. But up in the Salmon River country, there's a fire that's just kind of slowly burning itself out. It's been left to burn itself out, which they do when they contain the outside and then center parts burn. Like that one fire I went to in 2014, the day fire, when my stepson took me driving around, we saw the antelope. There was still a lot of stumps and stuff burning. Remember I told you about the stump holes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was telling Ferg about the fire there at, daggummit, I had, it's right up by the Oregon line. And the thing is, the people who were burned out were natives, indigenous people, who have struggled all of their lives to get federal recognition of themselves as an indigenous tribe. And have been fucked over by both state and federal government. And they were the tribe that had all the experience in controlled burns. You know, 10,000 years worth of experience. Happy Camp, is that what I'm...
Yeah, yeah. You're thinking of the Who Indians.
Yeah, up by...
Dave
Number 11.
Doesn't have recognition.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave number 11.
Dave number 11 probably know more about it.
Yeah, he hit me to it, and it's up by, what is it, Wairika?
Well, it's out of Wairika. It's quite a ways out of Wairika. It's, you go to Wairika, and you turn left on 97, 6, I think, or 7.
It's Highway 96. And Happy Camp is a town. It's on the Klamath River. Just over the hump from Cave Junction. You get to it from Cave Junction on Highway 199 by going south, or you can go west from the Yreka area.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah. I've only been
in that country once in my life. My dad was mining off of Elk Creek, which is out of Happy Camp.
Well, what Dave informed me of, we got the wrong verb tense because it's not Happy Camp is, it's Happy Camp was.
Oh, it
most definitely was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't following that fire too closely. I was following the fires down here mostly.
The father-in-law of a young lady I taught in eighth grade, who's now a college professor, her father-in-law got killed in that Happy Camp fire about a month ago.
Yeah, they're just getting Highway 36 open here, going over to the coast because of that August complex fire.
So anyway, the bottom line is Ferg thinks he'd like to get out there sooner rather than later, but he's got to find some kind of something, you know, he can be doing.
I don't know what to tell him because I don't know what kind of resume he'd have.
Well, I mean, it's you know, farm work, livestock work, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, he got hooked up with a guy who runs horseback tours here, but with classic typical, you know, this family's timing, he hooked up with him at the end of the season. So by, you know, next spring when the season comes back around, yeah, he'd probably have work. But between now and then, no. And Bob Kincaid Uber driver is an adventure I do not care to relive. So I don't know how it's going to play out, but there's a lot that goes into it that doesn't bear discussing, and bless his heart, is just,
well, what part of the state does he want to live in, and what does he want to do? I mean, not
this
just
part
a job.
Of the state, Scott.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
south.
He's versed. He's got some experience in, you know, dealing with horses and cattle and building fence and you know, hauling hay and, you know, farm work. You know, farm labor.
Okay. Well, probably go where the farms are.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
That's what, Central California?
No. We're talking about ranching.
Oh, ranching, farming. Okay.
Yeah. But I was just asking Sparky when does winter end? And yeah, Sparky clarified there's a big difference between the valley and the other side of the mountain. So.
Oh, there's a difference between here and 20 miles east of here. This is a strange, I didn't believe it when I got here, but I don't know about up where Sparky is, or where Rick is in L.A., but down here they have a thing called microclimates, and it's just incredible the way that the weather behaves. In San Diego County, which is a pretty large county, you can have all manner of weather on the same day. It's just weirder than fuck. I've never seen the like of it anywhere I've lived.
Well, so I'm curious, since I was talking about the Georgia race a little bit ago. I saw Steve from Georgistan pop into the room. Is he around?
Yeah, I'm here, Bob. What's going on?
Steve!
Love!
All better now. So is Georgia just vibrating at the prospect of finally not being a blood red state?
Yes. Exciting things are happening, but I tell you, it's the Warnock race. It's got everybody, the progressives, really pissed off because Lieberman won't get out of the fucking way, man.
So I was right.
It's too late now.
Yeah, it's too late.
Well, it's too late-ish because if Matt Lieberman were to say, listen, the numbers are what the numbers are, and I want a Democrat to be the senator, please, if you haven't voted yet, vote for Raphael Warnock, do not vote for me. He could do that, but he's a Lieberman, and that kind of decency is not in his DNA.
No, it's not how they roll. And it, like we had this discussion last week, it makes you wonder, who is he working for?
Well, I don't wonder. I know.
He done nailed it down, huh?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's some Republican buddy of his daddy who's bankrolling all of this horse shit. And what drives me crazy in all this is it's almost the same political lesson that attends third-party politics. Only this is more like a jungle primary like California has that's being had in November.
Right.
Because the top two come, the way the California jungle primary, a true primary works is the top two come out, right? I mean, just no greater explanation. Right. Okay.
50% plus one vote. You could have Democrats running against Democrats like we did, Dianne Feinstein did.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of difference, though, because in the jungle primary in California, you get two candidates no matter what. But that's not the case in this runoff, and that's what makes Matt Lieberman so problematic. Because tell me if I'm wrong, Steve, but it is possible that you could actually have a winner of this election, an outright winner.
And now, I don't want to be quoted on this, Bob, but I think if somebody was to get 50% plus one vote, yes.
That's exactly the way all Southern runoffs work.
Yes.
If nobody gets a majority, and a majority is defined as 50% plus .00000 out into infinity, and at the very end, a one, that's a majority.
Correct.
So what I said earlier is true. If Raphael Warnock was to get 47% of the vote, and we look down the results, and we find that Matt Lieberman got 3.00001.
Right.
Then
he would have to go head to head with Collins or Loeffler.
Yeah. And that's probably.
How is Warnock doing?
He's leading in the polls right now, Scott.
Yeah, what percentage? And it's like 20
it's probably
people.
Probably within the margin of error.
No. He's got 41% according to the Monmouth poll that Dave Number 11 just sent.
In a 20-person jungle primary.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But it's not really a jungle primary, Scott. That's the whole point. A jungle primary ends with two candidates. This race can end with a legitimate winner, but that winner has to get 50% plus one. Okay?
And 50%, he's at 41 now.
Right. And so, okay, let's take 41. Let's say that Matt Lieberman polls 9% plus one vote. Again, maybe that helps people understand a little bit better my point.
It makes me wonder, who are the people voting for Matt Lieberman? And what are they thinking?
That would be some Republicans.
Probably.
That's open primary practice.
Operation Chaos.
Yeah. Make sure that Raphael Warnock, let's understand. Raphael Warnock is an African American man. He's a very, very well known minister of Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Yes.
And so Matt Lieberman is the smiling face of, once again, a rotten ass case of soft voter suppression of the African American vote. He is there to give Republicans a way to keep Warnock from getting that 50%.
It's disgusting.
And it would be.
Wouldn't any vote for anybody other than the leader have the exact same effect, whether they voted for Lieberman or not?
To an extent, yes.
Yes.
But some of the other people who were potential takers of votes from Warnock got the hell out. But Lieberman has been begged by great and small, please get out of this race. And Matt Lieberman won't. And that that is enough to tell you that there is some sort of money and
shenanigans
and shenanigans. Wait, malarkey behind him.
Because Bob, he knows he doesn't have a chance in hell of winning. So why not get the hell out of the way?
Right. And I mean, that's why I said, in a way, it mirrors in a sort of oblique fashion third party politics in this country. Let me see if I can do the analogy game. Matt Lieberman is to this Georgia Senate race as Jill Stein was to the presidential race in 2016. There. Does that work?
I nailed it. Yeah, perfect. Spoiler. But let's talk about the other Senate race for just a minute. Did you see the debate between Ossoff and Perdue?
Yeah, I ran
Perdue out of intensive care yet?
Oh, Ossoff handed him his head, man. Oh, Jesus.
Perdue must have been a fucking XL squeezable sponge mop in a previous life.
They were supposed to debate tonight, and Perdue weaseled out and said, no, he's too preoccupied with helping out Arch.
Arch
is going to be here tomorrow.
Do we not have any grocery shoppers out here? I mean, no, he did not weasel out, Steve. Perdue chickened out. Perdue chicken?
Well, like Perdue Chicken Company.
Right, yes.
Is there any
Helen, it has a name.
See it. Check that debate out. It's highly entertaining.
Oh, I ran the audio. It was beautiful. And like I said when I was running it, you know, that moment when I said, it's not just that you're a crook, Senator, and because I'm classless, I was waiting for him to say, it's that you're a bad one. But instead, he made it even worse.
Oh, yeah. He did a magnificent, stellar job. Ossoff did. I mean, I don't know how well he's doing.
He did, Scott. He caught him out on elongating his face to make him look more, you know, he caught him out on that. Great.
And see, that's what Democrats have needed for a long time. A lot of us.
Call him on their bullshit.
Is to stand up and just call him everything but a fucking child of God.
Biden should have done it to Trump.
Yeah.
And
arguably.
I think Ossoff is winning in the polls, but I don't believe the polls. I don't trust them.
Well, Ossoff is one of those races where you can't say he's winning. When you're up by a half a percentage point, you're not winning.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you go by the signage, of course, I'm in my little, you know, belly button window here, this neck of the woods. It's just totally red. Everything is red, blood red.
Perdue.
Yeah.
Well, as the original Perdue said, it takes a tough man to make a tender bird. So,
well, Perdue got tenderized the other night. That's for damn sure. John Ossoff went after him with one of those little mallets with all the spiky points on the end. Jesus.
Served up on a plate with peas, mashed potatoes, and cobbler for dessert.
But it makes me wonder, what world am I living in?
Are you saying he got meat tenderized?
Yeah. Yeah, he had his head handed to him. It was a beautiful thing. But who would have ever thought that Georgia would be a swing state? Been here since 85 and never even hit my radar, you know? Texas, too? Yeah.
Texas already exceeded the entire turnout of 2016, early voting.
Now, one of the articles that I read earlier today coming out of Bloomberg News, and this is one of those that gives you the creeps. It doesn't give you the creeps because you think it's necessarily right. It gives you the creeps because it's Oh, it just smells like that shitty-ass journalism that we were covered up in back in 2016. Bloomberg News published a story saying that high-level officials inside the Biden campaign are freaking out because of the lack of Latino turnout, Hispanic turnout, in places like Florida, Texas, and Arizona in early voting. Of course, a statement was issued, and I don't mean that they were not telling the truth, but that a statement was issued from the Biden campaign saying, no, bullshit, no, we have not failed to reach it, because it was the same thing. You know, why isn't Hillary going to Michigan? You know, why hasn't the Biden campaign done more? Jesus Christ. To reach out to the Latino community. They've been busting their ass.
The headline on MSNBC today was Kamala Storms Texas.
And, yeah, she's three separate locations in Texas. Because back in 2018, Beto O'Rourke carried Tarrant County when it had been carried in 2016 and years prior by Republicans. And so she's in the Houston area, and Tarrant County is what, Fort Worth, and one other area. They're busting their ass, but in the waning.
I follow Beto O'Rourke on Facebook. He was out door knocking today. I don't know what area he was in, but he's always doing videos of him driving all over Texas, and he's out there busting his ass to get turn out the vote.
Right, and that's what I'm getting at. This, you know, there's that line about a dog returns ever to its vomit, and you know, there's that guy at Bloomberg News trying to gin up some sort of controversy to make the last few days of the race, you know, what, more interesting. And there's just something about that that just makes me, it makes me want to eat dirt and run rabbits. Oh, and I have happy news. I have thanks to send out here toward the halfway point of the program. Thanks very kindly to Ralphs and to an anonymous friend. Joey and Giraffe's rosa-colored glasses challenge has been met. And another challenge has hit the table. In an effort to knock out the remainder of the evening and get November off to a good start, there is a $340 challenge on the table, courtesy of Robert in Australia. And so Robert wants to see that doubled. And because, well, he heard what I was talking. I got the $300 I got to pay out on Wednesday for my oral surgery consult. I'm looking forward to that like a trip to the dentist. Oh, wait. It's not quite the same thing, but Robert said, doubling challenge, Bob needs new teeth. Not quite that, but it's got to be done, and it can't wait anymore. So thank you, Robert, and hopefully your challenge will be met in the next hour and a half or so. That's tremendous. Thank you. I cannot thank you enough. Takes a huge weight off my mind. Note coming in from Cynthia in the Bay Area. Well, then, why doesn't Trump reach out to us lefties, Whenever he reaches out to us, it's to take care of us by having his brown shirts and SS beat the hell out of us. Yeah, there's no Bloomberg stories out there about Trump campaign not reaching out to progressives. Oh, well, you know, they are who they are. Steve, did you happen to catch my filthy morning habit today? Oh, you're way far away.
That's better. I have my mic in the mute stand. Sorry.
Oh, okay. That's all right. I was just wondering, and I'm sure somebody did, or other members of the community did, because Joe And they brought on the ancient remains of Tom Brokaw to wax rhapsodic about the victory of Ronald Reagan coming from behind in 1980. Shit you not.
Why do these fuckers do that? It's like they like picking a scab or something. What is wrong with these people, man?
I don't know. Being as charitable, being as charitable as I can, I figured that what they're doing is trying to remind Republicans that there was a time when the Republican Party was respectable. But the minute I heard all that shit, I was like, yeah, the old 666 himself opening his campaign in the heart of Klan country with a states' rights speech. Sure, yeah, good times.
Well, there's another aspect to that dynamic. Fairly early in his career, Brokaw was based at KNBC in Los Angeles. And this was back during the day when Reagan was big in statewide politics, and he covered him a lot. I think he's got just a little soft spot in his major league media heart for the likes of old Ronald Wilson. That's my take, anyway. Familiarity doesn't necessarily always breed contempt. Sometimes it breeds even more nefarious.
The thing is, you know, as an old DJ, Scott, you appreciate the value of a great segue, you know, where you can't hardly tell where the one song ends and the next one begins.
Yeah.
Well, they segued from Ronald Reagan's victory into that of George W. Bush. And I was like, oh, you dirty little fuckers. And I my thumbs were out. I had my Twitter open.
It's a fool's errand, Bob, because they're trying to compare 2020 with any other presidential race that has occurred in my lifetime or yours, and going further back. And it's a unique thing. Each new presidential race is more unique than it's not. But this thing is uber unique. Who would have thought 4 short years ago, and a lot of us didn't think 4 short years ago, that the tangerine-tinted tub of tow cheese would become the nation's chief executive? Let that sink in, friends, you know?
Oh no! Joe was waxing rhapsodic, saying, "Well, you know, very few. There's a lot of people said they knew that they could that Trump could become president, but they weren't saying it back then." Well, I, by God, was. Oh hell yes, I was. And well, you know, Mika and I, we knew that. Yeah, that's because you gave him $1 billion worth of free publicity, Joe. God damn, those literally. People make me sick.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Oh, and I got thanks to send out. Thank you very kindly to George. Thank you, George, and thank you to Roberto. The challenge that Robert put on the table, the Bob's dentistry challenge, new tifus for Bob challenge, Jesus, or as Earther put it, the replace Bob's wooden tifuses challenge. They're not wooden, damn it. They're real, but they got to be shored up. But anyway, George and Roberto have taken that down to 290. So that could be reachable, and that would be tremendous, and it would be hugely helpful. Thank you, both of you. And we've got somebody on the stress line. Let me see who that is. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's George. I just donated, by the way.
Thank you, George.
You know what makes me so mad about these old guys who covered Reagan and Nixon and these guys and the Beshelovs, these historians? They never talk about their treason, how Reagan made a deal with the Ayatollahs to keep the hostages for 76 extra days, or Nixon negotiating behind LBJ's back when LBJ had a he had a deal to stop the war, to end the war, and Nixon did that too. So, you know, I'm sick of these guys that, that write these books, these ponderous histories of. Oh my God! Anyway, I'll let you go. Love you guys. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, George. Absolutely, and then you know, carried it forward. You know, they talked about W's election without ever mentioning the Brooks Brothers riot, or the fact that most of the people who, or a bunch of the people who are Trump lickspittles now, or were part of the Lincoln Project, were also part of the Brooks Brothers riot in South Florida. I mean, it's just a fact. And Megan says, it's getting weird out here, too. This morning, as I was driving to work in Fairfax, Virginia, I saw a small Trump rally on or around 10 people on the corner of a busy highway. They had ginormous Trump flags, and one was holding a handwritten sign that said, Biden crime family. A closer look revealed some participants of Asian descent. Huh? Nothing but question marks there. As I was driving home, some enterprising spray painter painted the words FUCDJT on the yellow reflector square on the end of a metal guardrail. This was among the houses along the Virginia Scenic Bypass, also sprinkled with Trump Pence signs. The presidential election of presidential elections, and it's falling 4 days after a full moon and 4 days after Halloween. Holy shit. I mean, that's... Hey, thank you, Jack in Shreveport. Down to 265. Thank you, Jack. Thank you very kindly. And Steve in New York would like somebody to join in with him. He'll kick in 10 and somebody else kick in 10, and that would get us down to 245. Thank you, Steve. So we're making progress. There's a couple of other stories out there that just, well, sometimes, like I said, you need a giggle. Last night, Nitwit Nero was supposed to have a rally in North Carolina. And the reason he couldn't have the rally in North Carolina is because, Fayetteville, North Carolina is, kind of on fire with the COVID. I mean, it was a nice night in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. Winds were about 15 miles an hour. But his super spreader event, as it was planned, was probably going to make a shit ton of people sick. Well, he tweeted, forced to move our rally tonight in Fayetteville, North Carolina to Monday due to high-speed winds and bad weather. I love you, North Carolina. Stay safe. See you Monday. Jesus. You know, we're back to John Ossoff. Mr. President, you're not just a crook. You're a bad one. Because really? 15 miles an hour is
high-speed winds.
And he was expecting the rest of the country, I guess, to think that it was the aftermath of Hurricane Zeta. Oh, by the way, Hurricane Eta is forming up. Y'all see that? Anybody? Bueller?
The only one I know about is that... a tropical cyclone off the Philippines.
No, it looks like there's something forming up out in the Caribbean. Might reach tropical storm status. And one more after Zeta, and like I said, I figure we'll skip Theta in the Greek alphabet. One more after Zeta, and we'll be at Iota, and that'll be an all-time record.
Understand all the letters. Gee, crazy.
Yeah, I've seen that one. The one you're talking about, stand there in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I'm talking about these storms.
And that will be Eta.
Is this the 28th one coming up?
That would be the 28th, and one more after that, Iota, would be 29, and that would be the record.
Oh, geez. Well, I think we're going to get the record. Maybe we'll get 30 storms this year.
It's weird how they've all just sucked into the Gulf this year, though, for the most part.
Well, it's like 90 degrees there. What do you expect? The water.
I mean, the Louisiana coast has just gotten, I mean, five hurricanes in 1 year. But, you know, don't worry. No such thing as climate change.
There's no global warming.
Yeah.
This one, now, I wouldn't wish misery on anybody, but it looks like this one's tracking due west, you know. And like I said, I don't want these folks down there to get hit either. I just hope the damn thing dissipates. But I don't know how much more the folks in Louisiana and Gulf Shores can stand, man.
Well, you know,
over and over and over again.
The warmer water it tracks into, the stronger it's going to get.
That's what's happening with that super typhoon in the Pacific.
Yeah.
It's picking up strength as it heads towards the Philippines. They say it'll probably have winds of 150 miles an hour when it hits land.
Well, my God, fucking Zeta was nearly hurricane strength when it went miles over my head.
Yeah, it was. What, gusts past 70?
Yes, 76-mile-an-hour gust. And hell, I did not lose power with my tar paper grid is beyond me. Everybody around me, the 70% of this county did. I just hit the lucky lottery, I suppose. But not to make it about me, but trees are still falling left and right, you know. So, you know, I might disappear tonight. Not disappear, but be off air mysteriously. You'll know why.
Yeah, you've got almost as reliable a power grid as we do up here.
yeah, you know what I'm up against. We have mystery outages when it's, you know, sunny day with no wind, and it'll go out for half a day. Do you get those too, Bob?
Oh, yeah, the clear blue sky grid goes down as a result of extreme depression. Yeah, those. But then again, I remember back when Jay Cruzen would talk about coming up here to do emergency work, and he said, y'all string power poles on toothpicks through the woods.
You do. We do. We string them through trees. We literally string power lines through trees. How much goddamn sense does that make?
Well, there's some cool boys out in my neighborhood trimming along the power lines today.
Well, in some places in rural California, they don't even bother with the power poles. They just nail the insulator to the trees and keep on going.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Roger, I got to tell you, I took some of the pulled pork from last weekend, I had some of my Deep South hot slaw, and I added to it some of your fermented pepper sauce. Oh man, that stuff's magic. I mean, that is fan-freaking-tastic. I have never tasted anything like that in my life. That was delicious.
And all it is jalapenos and Italian pepperoncinis, salt and water.
Yeah, it's glorious. Kind of makes me wonder, if you want a long-term project, what would happen if you let some go for a year or so?
All right. As long as you keep it in the fridge, all it's going to do is blend the flavors better.
Yeah, I mean, control. You know, let the ferment, but you know, let the fermentation go. Is, you know, just let it go and go and go and go.
Well, but at some point, I mean, in the early stages of the salt brine fermentation, you want it at room temperature so it gets up to speed and does its thing. But then after it's all calmed down and all the rest of it, it doesn't stop fermenting when you put it in the fridge. What it does do is prevents any mold growth. It slows down the fermentation, and it just keeps going forever. I mean, it's like you can keep sauerkraut in the fridge forever.
Yeah, oh, sure.
And it continues to get more sour. But if you leave it sitting on the counter and the temperature warms up, it'll start getting real soft on you. So if you keep it in the fridge,
yeah,
you'll keep the crispiness, but it'll continue to ferment.
Well, I tell you what, it had a world-beating flavor. It was alongside that hot slaw. Whew! Yeah.
And it's not a real hard bite. It's a good flavor.
No, no, and that's that's how I am with chili peppers. I mean, I like the fire, but it's not. I mean, there are people out there who are just fireheads, and I respect that. But there's so much more that you can get out of a chili pepper than just fire.
Well, I've managed to keep my Aji Amarillo peppers from freezing by making a little plastic tent and an electric heater in there. And so I'm still harvesting. We got down to like 27 degrees the other night. And if I hadn't tended the peppers, they would have been gone. But the next batch I got going right now is the day before the freeze temperature came, I harvested a whole bunch of green tomatoes. Ooh. And we made simply a green tomato jam. We made a green tomato orange marmalade. And
oh, get
I've
out
got
of town.
Half
I want to hear about
jug
that.
Of green tomatoes fermenting now with fresh jalapenos.
Oh, you devil.
So I'll figure out what those taste like in about another week.
But back up. Tell me what you said before then.
Oh, the Aji peppers?
Yeah.
Well, you know what the Aji tastes like.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, mixed with the tuna. But I planted...
That's past tense. New.
Okay, new. Well, good memories can last a long time. The Aji peppers, I put in about 10 plants. And they're super slow. I'm trying to grow all this different stuff from South America. And the growing season here in Eugene just isn't long enough. So you got to really work at getting them in early in a hoop house. And then you got to put them in a tent in the end of the year. And my Peruvian corn, I've got one ear off of about, 100 plants. But anyhow.
Tell me about this marmalade, season. Though.
The what?
The marmalade.
Oh, you
green tomato and jalapeno marmalade. Did I read that right?
No, green tomato, orange,
oh,
and lemon marmalade.
Ooh. Damn.
It's another one of those that goes great on the brie cheese.
Oh yeah, it would have to.
Sort of like that pepper jelly that you got.
Which is, I know you said you had issues with it, but I thought it was, it still is fantastic.
And then that RBBB jam is almost like a soft candy. It's so thick.
Well, there's a lady over in Fayetteville who started doing artisanal sourdough. And I'm gonna pick up a couple of loaves tomorrow and go hog wild with all three of these, the spiced peach and the jalapeno and the RBBB.
Well, you might want to put that RBBB in the microwave and warm it up enough just to get it spreadable so that you don't tear the bread up when you try to spread it. It's thick.
Oh, it's gonna be good. And I haven't seen her in a long time. Oh, I haven't seen her since the pandemic started. But I want to get a loaf of that salt rising bread and try it with some of these things. Oh, that stuff's magic. Stinks to high heaven, but my God, it's good.
Well, enjoy. Well, and if we can get rid of this goddamn COVID, I'll pick the jars up next June.
Here, or maybe October.
Or September or whatever.
Yeah, I hope it would be nice. And you know, if we start to get it on, I think we'll know if we get one. Step one is elect Biden, and a Senate and a House. And then step two, see how they once they're in office, see how they respond. And we may know in a couple of months if maybe we can.
On that same vein,
yeah, June.
What
June.
Is the closest transcontinental railroad terminal to you?
Do you mean Amtrak?
Yeah,
I mean I can tell you how you'd get here by train, depending on where you were. I mean, if you were just coming from there, you'd probably. you'd wind up in Chicago and go Chicago to Prince, West Virginia.
So there's a route from Chicago to Prince, West Virginia.
Yeah, that's a line called the Cardinal.
Because we were planning on going to D.C. where my brother-in-law lives. Yeah, but he may not be living there by a year from June.
Yeah, I think the earliest...
Which would screw up my overnight stop in D.C. Well, a week in D.C. before I came down.
Well, I think the earliest we can even think about it is... fourth weekend, and you know, about this time next year, June's got to be out. There's just no way.
Well, whatever it is,
yeah.
But yeah, my brother-in-law, oddly enough, if you were to be selling the house in D.C., so I won't have that stopover.
Oddly enough, if you were taking the train, you would blow by here, very likely on the way to D.C.
Because we were thinking of doing from here to Chicago, Chicago to D.C.
Well, the Cardinal runs D.C. to Chicago, and so there's another route I think that goes like Chicago to Cleveland. You know, the Great Lakes route, Chicago across to Cleveland, down to Pittsburgh, and into D.C. maybe. But I tell you what, either one of those is a rough ride. The track is a mess. I mean, you know, it's not like civilized passenger rail, because it's passenger rail running on freight tracks. And we were overnight from here to Chicago a lot of years ago. And, talking about getting thrown out of your bunk, hitting hunks of bad rail.
Well, back in the late 50s, I used to take the train from Eureka, California, down to San Rafael, California, and that was all freight lines, so...
Well, they were probably better maintained back then.
Of course, that wasn't an overnighter.
Yeah. That's sunny San Rafael, by the way.
Yeah, well...
Our buddy Tom's there. And you know, that line about sunny San Rafael comes from Shel Silverstein. Rap called The Smoke Off. In the laid-back California town of sunny San Rafael lived a girl named Pearly Sweetcakes. You probably knew her well. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I can understand sunny San Rafael because San Rafael's on the east side of that little bit of what I would call the Coast Range. To where the better weather is than over on the ocean side. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. I do have a question that might come up, and that is people are talking about messing with the Supreme Court. Now, my understanding would be that, okay, aren't circuit court judges also appointed for life?
Yes. Okay. And so are U.S. District Court judges, you know, the trial court level.
All right. Could it not be that the Supreme Court becomes a, like, 12-year appointment, and the judges to the Supreme Court come from the circuit courts?
You'd have to amend the
circuit court?
No, you'd have to amend the Constitution.
Would it have to be amended?
Yes.
Or could not the Congress do that?
No. The Constitution would have to be amended because those judges, it's all driven by Article 3, but all judges are lifetime appointments. And it establishes a Supreme Court and justices thereof.
Well, but you're not changing the life appointment.
No,
you are simply saying
no, but
we are going to select from the circuit court 9, 12, 15, 25, however many people, to serve a term on the Supreme Court. And at the end of that term, you will return to or be assigned to a new circuit court and still have, I mean, you could give them their same pay and all the rest of that bullshit, and simply reassign them to, because it's the end of their Supreme Court term, but they are still a judge for life.
Well, okay, but here's what Article 3, Section 1 says. The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges, both of the Supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall at stated times receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. So, if you are a textualist, and God knows if you're an originalist, the fact that it says the judges both of the Supreme and inferior courts shall hold their offices, that says that those are different offices and are therefore different judges. And that they hold, and that if you are on the Supreme Court, you hold your office on good behavior. In other words, life.
Well, I was just trying to figure out some way to
it's a lovely idea.
In essence, term limits on the court without punishing the members of the court.
No, I get it.
No, I'm not trying to put them on the unemployment line. But trying to, not necessarily good for us right now, but let's say the court got expanded to 16 people, and every 4 years, four new people got on the court on a 16-year rotational basis. So when you got appointed to the Supreme Court, you'd be there for 16 years and would then return to an inferior court. Or as a, we could create somebody talked one time about retiring from the Supreme Court and all the retirees would have one vote on the court, but it had to be, let's say you had five retired Supreme Court judges, they would have one vote. And so it was a 3-2 number, then the three would win and be one vote on the existing Supreme Court, because they would be Supreme Court Justice Emeriti with a combined voice or something of that sort. But trying to get something where each president knew when they got elected and the people would know when they got elected, that the president would get a certain number guaranteed appointments. And then, of course, if somebody croaked while they were sitting on the bench, that president would get an extra, but would be to fulfill the term of the expired judge or something of that sort. You know, some way to work it out to where, I mean, technically a president could pluck a high school graduate and put them on the Supreme Court. And they'd be there for 70 fucking years.
Yeah, I mean,
because there's no requirement for even a law degree to serve on the Supreme Court.
Isn't there a minimum age requirement?
Don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so either.
You could put a 10-year-old on there. Then.
Well, but the thing is, that's why
you'd have to be of age of majority.
That's why the confirmation process is there. To keep exactly right, Billable.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, everybody, how's it going? I heard an interesting proposal. So what you do is you basically have Congress create a law saying that we're taking away the jurisdiction from the Supreme Court to decide constitutional questions, and instead we're creating a new court. We're going to call the Constitutional Court. which is going to consist of eight judges. And, you know, the experience required is they each have to have at least 10 years experience on the appellate bench. And, you know, it'll be eight judges. And every year, one of them has to, like, you know, go back to their previous position, their previous judgeship. So they're off the constitutional court. They're on it for like 8 years. What you do is you rotate this out. So every year a president serves, he's guaranteed like at least one appointment on the constitutional court. And that's a way of taking, you know, making it a little less political, because the, you know, president will know, you know, that they can reshape the court, the constitutional court, but only for the 8-year term that they're going to be in office.
But Bill, I mean, that's actually a sensible argument, Billable, but I can see not only originalists, but textualists and people who just read the plain language, of English, looking at Article 3, Section 1 and saying, no, because there shall be the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts. So the only way you could create the constitutional court would be to make it inferior to the Supreme Court.
But in that thought process, when did the Supreme Court, I think you've expressed this before, come to determine the constitutionality?
Well, that's Marbury versus Madison.
Yeah, 1803 decision.
And that clearly was not in the Constitution. And therefore, your originalist, constitutionalist, constructionist, whatever bullshit Amy Comey, whatever, wants to say, couldn't argue or should not be able to argue over the constitutionality of Roe v. Wade, for instance.
Well,
Supreme Court created to adjudicate articles like Southern Pacific Railroad, for example, and their taxation kind of thing. But not whether it was constitutional or not.
Well, but Marbury versus Madison draws its rationale, John Marshall did, from Article 3, Section 1's language. And you know that there's one Supreme Court. In other words, you know, one court to rule them all, one court to bind them, one court, et cetera, et cetera. And then Section 2 sets out jurisdictions. And you know, you can take jurisdiction away from the Supreme Court. For a long time, one of the fetish objects of the right wing was to take jurisdiction over flag burning away from the Supreme Court and then pass a no flag burning law. They masturbated themselves blue in the face, people like Limbaugh and the rest of those freaks, over that idea. I think Gingrich was behind it at one point.
Well, by that same argument, shouldn't we be able to take money as speech and pass a law that says that that's absolute bullshit and the Supreme Court can't do anything about it?
I think
if you're
going to
say flag burning isn't speech.
Well, you notice they never pulled the flag burning trick because they did realize that that would be opening up a whole bag full of bats.
Well, you know, if they had done that, they could prosecute people behind the Blue Lives Matter flags, which is basically a bastardized version of the American flag. You know,
it's desecration, right?
Yeah, it's not bastardized, it's desecrated.
Exactly.
And did you catch the Trump rally where there were only blue line flags behind
the American flag had just disappeared.
Stand?
Yep.
Hey, speaking of bats, Bob, does anyone know if Rudy still has his license to practice law? And why the fuck isn't he disbarred already if he still has it?
Yes, he still has his license, and I guess because he hasn't violated anything significant enough to make New York yank it.
I think that's complete crap.
The New York Yankers?
Obviously he has.
Get it? Get it? New York Yankers?
Hey. Very good, very good.
I heard what you did there, Bob.
Yeah. Did I hear somebody? Well, did I hear Billable Rick say cowbell?
I say cowbell, Bob.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chris. Oh, and hey, we're into the third hour of the program, and this is getting exciting. Steve's challenge just got met by Russell. Thank you, Russell. So that gets us down to 2:45 to go on Robert and Australia's challenge. Thank you, Robert, and thank you to everybody who's jumped in on that. 2:45, and that would be awesome.
May I chime in on the Supreme Court topic, just generally?
Chime away, you delightful little bell, you.
You old chimer, you. And I would like to merge it. This will delight Steve and George's hand. I would like to merge my chiming with a TV viewing tip for those of you who have the HBO Max app. Some years ago, in the wake of the year 2000 election debacle, HBO, I believe, did one of those made-for-TV movies called Recount. Recount is on the HBO Max app. And even if you've seen it, watch it again, because something that Bob said earlier about some of the cronies went on to jobs in the Trump administration or the Bush administration or whatever. Watch that movie Recount, because when they're into the vote counting and the looking for the hanging chads down there in Florida, the Brooks Brothers riot is what reminded me of this film. The Brooks Brothers so-called riot, the movie, as a courtesy to viewers, puts names of the principal actors who were behind the Brooks Brothers so-called riot. And some of them became like familiar names, maybe even household names. Of course, now Drano is a household name, so they should
or
let
Supreme
it go.
Or Supreme Court justices.
Well, that's where I was headed. And right. If memory serves, it's been a while since I've seen the film, and I'm going to watch it probably tonight. I believe I Love Beer Brett was part of that mob, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
Judge Crying Game. Yes.
So watch that movie Recount if you've got the HBO Max app, and it's probably on Amazon. But it's a good way to see, because that's what I'm thinking. At some point, it's all of this. Election stuff is going to end up on the highest court in the land, don't you think? Or at least some aspects of it will. And when it gets to that level, given the makeup of the court, I get a very strong sense of dread. Dread, I think, would be the word.
Yep.
So anyway, that's that.
I, you know, that Scott, the importance of it is that, you know, because of that, it can't be close at all. I mean, I don't want, you know, Biden to have to hang his hopes on Pennsylvania, because who knows what kind of chicanery the court will pull to try to, you know, say, oh, you know, we're not going to count any ballots that arrived after Election Day after all, even if they were postmarked.
Yeah.
You never know with Amy Tony's parrot what's going to happen there. So we've got
you know what she's going to do, Rick.
Oh,
you know
absolutely.
Exactly
she's telegraphed
do.
It.
Quid pro quo. Yeah.
And then that's it. That's it for Trump. If he goes into North Carolina.
She wrapped up
and Georgia as well.
She was a part of that shit.
Yes, hey, Steve, did you see that you've got another maggot member of your congressional delegation done got the Rona?
She claimed she had like a minor research assignment. That was what she said. And she forgot what exactly.
I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't catch that.
No, did you see that another member of your Georgia congressional delegation done got the Rona?
And ask me why I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I know. You ever heard of Drew Ferguson?
No, I can't say that I have. I mean, I know who my rep is, but you know, on a state, on a local, you know, it's hard.
Right.
I should know them all, but I don't. Honest answer.
Well, you got more than your fair share. Let's see, Drew Ferguson, Georgia, not Georgie. let's see, the district. Oh, he represents Noonan. You know where Noonan is.
Oh, absolutely.
And all the way down to Columbus.
Hello, Newman. Yeah.
Probably got a picture of him smiling with Trump somewhere.
Well, that probably includes, Noonan's the county seat that's the county seat of Coweta County, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, representing Ferguson went to this past Tuesday, he went to a MAGA meetup hosted by illegitimate Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, and a whole bunch of other maggots showed up, and there was some video of it because they's getting ready because they's going to deal with Joe Biden coming to Georgia. And, of course, hardly anybody, you know, again, trying to find somebody wearing a mask was like playing Where's Waldo. And so while he was there representing Ferguson, said, Brian Kemp's doing a great job because he's a listening to the medical experts. And he ain't buckled to the liberal mob leading us through this year pandemic. And then he goes over and he shakes hands with Brian Kemp, who, by God, has a mask on. And then leans in and gives him a quick hug and smolik. Right? And then, as of today, he said, last night I began feeling mild symptoms consistent with a cold with no fever. This morning when I began running a slight fever, I immediately took a COVID test, which has come back positive. Following the advice of my physician, I'll be self-quarantining and working from home if anybody's watching. I added that part. I've also notified the office of the attending physician in Congress and asked for their guidance. Why? Because I like to guidance. While the vast majority of my recent schedule has been virtual, we are beginning the process of reaching out to anyone I have seen in recent days except the hookers. I added that part too. I am eager to get back to work and will do so as soon as I have fully recovered, if I do. No, I added the if I do part, too.
Anybody I've come in contact with, I bet you his secretary is speed dialing the lobbyists right now as we
speak. Yeah, and Brian Kemp, who got his ass hugged, is sitting there going, motherfucker. Goddamn son.
Hey, Bob, I think I saw those maggot meetups. You can see them you can get them at the hardware store right next to the Roach Motels.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
Maggots come in, they don't go out.
Well, I do know who my representative is, and I took heart because he does have a very qualified opponent, a nurse, actually running against him. Of course, he probably doesn't have much of a chance, but I penciled her in.
Hot diggity. Yeah.
Steve Gooch is nothing but just an extension of Trump and that evil cabal.
Well, aren't they all, though, when you get right down to it? Storms and hurricanes notwithstanding, I mean, it's still fairly warm down there, isn't it, Steve?
It's actually chilly tonight, Bob. I just had to turn on the space heater, my friend. Funny you should ask.
I'll be dipped.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's
crazy.
I watched the week out on the week extended forecast. I mean, tomorrow we get sunshine and 57 degrees and a full moon. and then it pours on Sunday. And then our highs are 45, 55. Wednesday, we get up to 64, 66 on Thursday. Holy shit, a week from tomorrow, which will be November the 7th, 72 degrees and sunny. I may be back out in the yard in the Speedo. Who knows?
And shoveling snow the next week.
Or the next day.
The next day. Do you even own a Speedo?
Yes.
No way.
Just don't do your string trimming in a Speedo, though. It'll hurt like hell.
Oh, no kidding. Tried it once.
Have Agnes take a picture of that.
No. I do not wish to break the internet.
Oh, we could all use a good laugh, though, Bob, but not at your
expense. Thanks for that. Yeah, because I am a funny looking.
A great fundraiser. It'll be the biggest thing since the Farrah Fawcett post.
Oh, no. There's the fundraiser. In the next 45 minutes, Meet Robert's challenge or Bob's picture goes up in a Speedo on the internet. That's part of the reason, you know, I do admire Sacha Baron Cohen because he is fearless. My God almighty.
Well, Rudy said he was just adjusting his mic.
He was tucking in his shirt.
Oh, I've worked in a lot of sound rooms, but I've never seen a mic down there before, unless they were doing porn.
Well, and I'm
how
guessing.
How many people do you know who have to lie down on a bed like they're putting on some 1980s
precisely.
Jordache jeans?
Precisely. And I was about to say, I don't think anybody's ever going to mistake anything down there on Rudy for a Shure Beta 58 or a Shure SM7B or an Electro Voice RE20.
He thought he had that one in the bag. He thought he had scored. Man.
Oh, wait. We've got an opportunity for a Frank Zappa moment. It was a Telefunken U47. There. All better now.
Did you watch the movie, Steve?
Yes, I did. I watched it the night he came out, Karen and I did. Highly entertaining. Oh.
That young woman has a future.
Yes.
Maria Bakalova. And in fact,
in your face.
Sacha Baron Cohen's making the rounds in Hollywood now trying to get her a best actress nomination or best supporting actress.
How old is she in real life? Do you know, Bob?
24.
Okay.
And she comes out of the Bulgarian theater scene. I mean, you know, trained actor.
I mean, she looked so young at the beginning of the movie. It was amazing. Looked like she was like no more than 15. Clearly.
Oh, it's a lovely makeup job because they make it, not only does she look young, she looks filthy.
Right.
That fertility dance was over the top, man.
Jesus.
Wow.
Agnes turned over and hit her face in the pillow.
Well, I mean, the fertility dance is something you could only do in front of a Republican crowd because, you know, they think it's actually a real dance, you know? Anyone else would know it's not, you know?
They bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. They were buying into all this.
Yeah, well, that's why Trump decided to run as a Republican because they're stupid. Republicans are stupid. They're easy to manipulate and fool, you know?
I still feel sorry for Eddie the monkey.
Yeah, well, I don't think any real monkeys were harmed in the making of the film, but yeah.
Well, you got to eat some protein while you're in a cage, you know? It's either him or...
Uh-huh. Okay, well... If they buy into these outside forces sending them signs and everything, what kind of sign is it when you got a storm that goes from Louisiana, whizzes past North Georgia in less than 8 hours? I mean, if you do believe in that kind of nonsense, shouldn't that be like in your face sign? Hello? And maintain
the sign. Well, but see, all that nastiness that's coming across in from the Gulf of Mexico, the sign is because of those damn liberals that have allowed the race mixing and the abortions and the gay marriage, and it's all that stuff that they're trying to wipe off. I mean, we good God-fearing folk down here to go to church every Sunday, why we just got caught up in it.
Well, yeah, it was probably Gulf of Mexican rapist hurricanes.
Lateral damage.
Oh, and a little something, a reminder, and I'm glad Jeremy sent this along. Jeremy in Vermont, subject line police. Did we mention that one of the police involved in the shooting and murder of Breonna Taylor has sued her now surviving ex-boyfriend for trauma damage to him? Yeah, that's a thing that happened.
Did you also get that Kyle Rittenhouse got extradited?
Oh, did they extradite him?
Copying him probably helped him sue the boyfriend, too.
Well, one of the weirder things, though, there's a weird piece of information that just, I mean, stinks to high heaven. The Associated Press reported today that the MAGA Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Stan, has disclosed two long rifle shell casings in and near Breonna Taylor's apartment after the so-called drug raid, and that it was disclosed by Attorney General Daniel Cameron's office as exculpatory evidence in the trial of Officer Brett Hankinson. Billable Rick, you wanna maybe explain all that?
Exculpatory evidence. I think he's charged with, the officer's charged with an assault against or illegally discharging a firearm as to a different apartment where there were white folks in it instead of black folks, as I recall. So what happens when the government charges you with a crime is they're required to reveal any evidence that would tend to negate your guilt. That's called exculpatory evidence. That's a constitutional obligation under a decision called Brady versus Maryland, I believe. And if the prosecution fails to reveal exculpatory evidence, it can be a basis for reversing a conviction and or granting a new trial. So it's very important for the government to...
Isn't it curious that the rifle shell casings, and nobody was carrying a rifle? Yeah. And as Jack in Shreveport points out, that's McConnell protege Kentucky AG, Daniel Cameron. Yes. But see...
He's definitely not ready for prime time as an AG.
But there are some rounds that could either... Yeah. There are shell casings that could come from either a handgun or a rifle.
Not a lot.
Like a 22 shell.
Yeah.
But a 22 shell can come from either.
Yeah, but 32 shots, Cameron said 32 shots were fired by officers at the scene, all from handguns. And cops don't carry 22s.
No, they're 38s or better.
And Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, fired one shot from his handgun. Again, handgun.
No shot.
And that's when Mattingly and Miles Cosgrove let loose with a hail of 32 rounds.
Mm. Hey, Bob.
Yes.
How that information will possibly help the defense. It's maybe seems to be irrelevant. Maybe it's evidence that there had been other people in the area shooting that apartment area. Who knows?
Yes, Steve.
Bob, I know the explanation there. That's the that was from the second gun, and I got out of the dentist, so my face is really numb. But I was going to say that was from the second gunman over on the grassy knoll.
Of course.
Yes, those are the casings to the magic bullets.
Yes.
But Cop Mattingly says in his countersuit to Walker's suit that he suffered battery, assault, and emotional distress caused by Walker. That miserable POS. Oh, but by the way, back to the hurricanes for a moment. Matt out in San Francisco says, I take great pride that my marriage is responsible for hurricanes a few states over. And, you know, volcanoes, earthquakes. I don't think you and your spouse are responsible for the fires, though.
That's, I would say that Matt definitely
don't talk about volcanoes, Bob.
Oh, sorry, you live near one. My bad, Sparky.
But his hasn't popped since 1912.
Yeah, don't whisper that into the ear of the goddess of irony either, Roger. But you know, the nerve, and I don't use this word often. The nerve of that pig filing a countersuit. Just, you know, damn.
Well, since the Brianna's boyfriend was a licensed person carrying, the only person that heard the cops say anything about they were cops was already outside, and nobody inside any building heard him say anything. And I believe that it was a stand your ground state. He had the perfect right to defend himself in his own castle. It doesn't matter whether he was in Brianna's castle or not, but he was defending himself from a potential home invasion. So where the hell is his grounds for a fucking lawsuit? Or am I just being ignorant?
Because Kentucky?
So that little star on a blue suit makes you immune to everything.
Pretty much.
Blue lives matter, Roger.
Well, you know, the thing is, Roger, anyone can sue anybody else. And when you get sued, oftentimes countersuits are just filed, just kind of as a, you know, just kind of as a necessary, as a, you know, usual response. Doesn't mean they have any merit.
Yeah. Right, and bear in mind, I'm sure this countersuit was filed by the lawyer that the cop did not have to hire because it was provided to him free of charge via the cop union.
Right, of course.
Or a Republican PAC. Which, I mean, a cop union is normally a Republican PAC.
I was going to say, and the difference is what?
Yeah, touche. But my point there was that, I mean, it's like Kyle Rittenhouse being represented by an incredible attorney corps. The Rittenhouse family's not paying for his representation. It's being put up by somebody else, like Amy Comey Barrett. She didn't pay for the media barrage that Senator Whitehorse pointed out was the support structure behind her nomination. There's a whole lot of dark money involved in all of this shit. But as soon as some Black Lives Matter person starts getting some legal help, all of a sudden the shit hits the fan about how George Soros is funding everything. I'm still waiting for my check. I've been protesting since Vietnam, and nobody sent me a check yet. So I figure I'm going to get a hell of a payday one of these days.
That or they're cheap bastards.
Right? 40 years of interest, 50 years of interest, Roger.
Yeah.
Man, that'll be good.
Well, when you get yours, Roger, when you get your check from George Soros, let me know. And then when I get mine, I'll let Bob know. And then Bob can go on the horn and tell the rest of us it's in the mail.
Well, I figure if I were to ever get a check, Bob would get at least half of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's mighty kind of you, Roger. Mighty kind of you indeed.
Well, if I ever win the lottery, you'll get half of that too. But I don't ever figure to win that because I never play it.
Well, you know, you got to meet the goddess halfway. You got to buy the ticket, but I understand.
No, I won't buy the ticket because it's a sucker's bet.
Sure.
spent too much time teaching the probability of long odds to even dream about buying a lotto ticket or putting money in a slot machine.
Does that include the probability of drawing to an inside straight?
Oh, lottery's even worse than drawing to an inside straight.
Damn, that is bad. Well, we got 30 minutes to go, and we got $245 to go on Robert's challenge. So we'll see how that plays out. But thanks to everybody who's jumped in so far. Thank you very kindly indeed. That'll finish the we'll finish the month of October, and I'll be able to deal with the extra that's going to hit me in the middle of the first week of November. So thank you very kindly, one and all. And you know, maybe somebody will jump in on the overnight crew. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. What else? There's just, you know, the usual thing. You can't keep up. Yesterday I was talking about Jay Cutler and Jack Nicklaus signing identical endorsements for Donald Trump. Well, add one more to the list. Brett Favre. Sorry, Packers fans. Today he said, "My vote is for what makes this country great: freedom of speech and religion, Second Amendment, hard-working tax-paying citizens, police, and military. In this election, we have freedom of choice, which all should respect. For me and these principles, my vote is for Donald Trump. Vote!" It didn't go well. Because he was immediately hit with screenshots from the New York Times. "Brett Favre tricked by white supremacists into recording video with anti-Semitic message. Man who engaged in million-dollar welfare fraud endorses president who engaged in tax fraud." And it went downhill from there. Says a man who sends unsolicited dick pics to women and steals money from welfare funds. "Brett Favre to repay $1.1 million for speeches he didn't make," auditor says. God. But the in terms of endorsements, this may go down as one of the great punkings of modern politics. Remember White Power Barbie, Tommy Lauren? And, of course, Corey Lewandowski? And Seb Gorka and Joe Arpaio? Well, a comedy writer by the name of Ali Asghar Abedi, paid all four of those, or offered to pay all four of those people to give thanks to a big supporter of Donald Trump. The name of the person was Iblis. And Mr. Abedi said, "I spelled it Iblis and laid out the pronunciation as Iblis. But I figured mentioning that Iblis is Arab should have been a cue to vet the request with someone who knows Arabic. But it wasn't, because, you know, the maggots are desperate for anybody darker than a white paper bag to endorse Trump. And so you've got Lewandowski and Tommy Lauren both paid $80 to record the message. Joe Arpaio got $30. Gorka was going to get $45, but he turned it in late, so he didn't get paid. Stupid bastards. And they all gave shout-outs. God, this is so funny. They all gave shout-outs to Iblis because of his undying support for Donald Trump. Now, here's the fun part. Iblis, I-B-L-I-S, in the Quran, is Arabic for, well, let me see if I can get the audio going first, because it just makes it more funny. Here we go.
Iblis, it's Corey Lewandowski.
Iblis, it is Tommy Lahren.
Hey, Iblis, Sebastian Gorka here.
Iblis, thanks for being a passionate Trump supporter.
I am very impressed. 11 Trump rallies.
I know that you are a passionate Trump supporter. You know that all lives matter.
I also hear that you've been canvassing, that you donate, and you've got a lot of fantastic Trump merchandise.
And you have no fear about wearing your Trump gear.
He's my hero, and I'm sure he's your hero.
So, Iblis, thank you so much for being such a strong supporter.
I want to sincerely thank you.
Keep doing what you do, and MAGA.
And if the video ends, don't be Iblis. Vote Biden-Harris. Because Iblis is the word in the Quran for Satan. Seb Gorka, Joe Arpaio, Tommy Lahren, and Corey Lewandowski all thank Satan for his support of Donald J. Trump. Because they're schmucks. God, I love that. That's brilliant. Jesus, Iblis.
That is great. Hey, I want to know what's going to happen to all the Trump merchandise that come, let's say, next Wednesday or Thursday, hopefully after he's lost. I mean, talk about fire sales, man. You know? You could probably get that stuff for a penny, most of that stuff.
Oh, there, I got a feeling there's going to be a bunch of people left with a bunch of merch. There's some neo-maxi zoom dweeby asshole that sets up on the parking lot of a shopping center in Beckley every weekend, and he has every kind of Trump merch, Trump flag, Trump this, Trump that, that's imaginable.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a question, Bob, about your take. I saw this, Maggie Haberman wrote just a little blurb, a few paragraphs long, in either the Post or the New York Times, about the last-minute change for election night not happening at the Trump International Old Post Office Hotel. And the even briefer was the official White House statement about it, that Trump would be at the White House Tuesday night. What is that? What are they telegraphing 4 or 5 days before election night? What are they? There's no victory party because there's going to be no victory.
He's got to hang out in the bunker when Biden wins. The White House will get surrounded with people telling him to get out.
Get the fuck out.
Probably
get
what
the fuck
happened
out.
Was that he set up for this giant victory party and was charging $1,000 a head or some bullshit like that for people to come to the Trump Hotel, and nobody was buying any fucking tickets, and he's too goddamn cheap to run it on his dime at that hotel and pay the waiters and servers and all the rest of that, because nobody was going to show up.
Well, that's a thought.
Well, he was giving away a free night at the motel and pictures with him.
What shit has that bastard ever given away free?
Well, if you donated enough money.
Well, yeah, donate enough money. That ain't free, Sparky.
No, but I mean, you donate the money, you get. You don't have to pay for it. That's what the article I read. You don't have to pay for the money.
And I'll bet
one lucky donor, you know, you get drawn out of a hat.
Yeah, but if I sent you $1,000, you'd probably give me a Budweiser or a beer when I come through the next time.
Yeah, but they're going to draw the winner out of a Trump baseball
You know, I
cap,
got a refrigerator full of it here.
The winner's going to be made in China. Need not be present to win. What? And our lucky winner is made in China. Congratulations to him or her. But the second part of my question is, every now and again you'll hear the pundits talk about internal polling. What constitutes internal polling? Who are they talking to as opposed to the mainstream poll?
Hey, Iwanka, is your daddy going to win? Oh, daddy's definitely going to win. Internal polling says Donald Trump will win.
No, I'm serious. When you hear about internal...
Go ahead.
for pollsters that the campaigns themselves have on staff to just get a feel for, you know, how things are going so they can allocate resources, decide where they're going to campaign, that kind of thing, you know?
But how does their methodology differ from regular polls? And who are they talking to? Is there a select group of people?
I think they just...
Club.
Like the Gallup does and the other major organizations do, except they're maybe not as reliable. You know, maybe they're not quite as randomized.
Does anybody know anybody who's actually participated in a poll?
It never happened to me, but I ignore all my calls because 90% of them are spam trying to sell me insurance for my 2000 model Toyota.
Oh no, they're trying.
Over a year.
I'm still getting spam calls trying to sell me a warranty for the car that totaled over a year ago. And it kind of made me wonder for a minute. You know, what if I took? No, I've already signed the title. Fuck.
Hey, speaking of spam, I got a call today from the Federal Reserve saying that my bank account was associated with criminal activity.
Uh-oh.
And so I hit one, I talked to a live person, and then he was obviously talking in a call center because I heard, you know, voices all around, and he had an Indian accent. He wanted me to tell him my name. I said, no, you already know my name because you guys called me. You tell me what my name is. I want to know what's going on. Tell me about the case you filed against me.
Got a case number there, bub?
You know, they say you're not supposed to engage these bastards, but I'd love to listen in on that one, Rick.
Well, you know, the thing is, I like to waste their time because they wasted my time by interrupting my work. Yeah. So I figure, okay, actually interrupting the horn program when I was listening to you guys. And it's like, hey, I'll waste his time a little bit. What the hell, you know? But, I mean, clearly a scam, you know. It used to be the Social Security. Originally it was the IRS, then it became Social Security. Now it's the Federal Reserve.
You're in legal trouble and you need to send money right away or they're going to file tomorrow. I mean, I've heard them all.
Well, I basically said, look, I had no idea that the Federal Reserve had law enforcement powers. I mean, that's total news to me.
I'd ask him the name of the chairman of the Federal Reserve, and if they don't know, hang up.
Yeah, right. who is the current Fed chairman? Is it like Jerome somebody?
Jerome Powell?
Yep.
Is it?
Oh. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because, you know, Nitwit Nero couldn't abide a woman being Fed chair. She had to go.
Right, she had to go. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And you know who else?
Never been polled, ever.
You know who else had to? Well, didn't have to go, but bailed out. Betsy DeVos, chief of staff over at the Department of Ed, and he's been a powerful Michigan Republican for eons. Josh Venable, and he wrote an editorial in the Detroit News saying, he's not her chief of staff anymore, but he was. President Donald Trump thrives on purposely sowing strife and discord. I've seen it up close and in person. He does so at the expense of the nation's interests, the health and prosperity of our fellow citizens, alliances forged through generations of sacrifice, and the personal safety of public servants. And then he drops a rock on the entire Republican Party. That's the damnedest thing. God, I wish, you know, I do. I wish that Biden was, you know, 20 points up and that there just wasn't a 30, prayer.
40.
Yeah.
It's nerve-wracking.
Because there's some ugly shit going on. Mm-hmm. One of the assholes, you remember, please send snacks. Remember the Malheur wildlife refuge?
The bird brains that took over the bird refuge.
Yeah, the bird brains at the bird refuge.
Right.
Well, Corey LeCour, LeQUIEU, and he's a member of the Three Percenters, too, that terrorist gang. According to a report from California Public Radio, he said, I got a feeling that BLM and Antifa are going to be out here. I'm sorry, Antifa are going to be out here doing voter intimidation. And so he says that they're going to plan. They're planning to show up armed to the teeth at polling places in Nevada. Now, this stupid bastard was already sentenced to 2.5 years in prison for his role in the standoff. Does he have a right to keep and bear arms? I think Trump's going to win real big. They're going to lose their minds and want to start some more rioting and looting. And
well, actually, if if Amy Toney's parrot interpretation of the Second Amendment's correct, it's only a violent felony that causes you to lose your right to bear arms.
Oh, God Almighty, you're right. And he is legally prohibited from carrying a gun because of his conviction. But Battle-Born Patriots member Adam Moore says, none of us ever hope that we have to use our weapon. That is the last thing any of us want. But we don't like to hear that people are intimidated by it. Now, these guys are, this is Meal Team 6. You know, they're gravy seals.
Okay, Bob, how about
for you? No, I can't claim that because our buddy Ron in the far, soon to be eminently frozen north, sent that along to me.
Yeah. Ron, anyway. Not for you.
Meal Team 6. Gravy Seals. God, I love that.
Well, do you know how hard it is to navigate a landing vehicle in a sea of gravy? I mean, you cannot imagine.
Gravy. You could use my tongue for a landing skid. It's gravy. Come on.
Back on a serious note.
Oh no.
What about
I
this?
I was serious.
What, yeah. Come what on, about Roger. This Trump thing about pulling the civil service protections, et cetera, and shifting a whole lot of the civil service over to political appointees, and how is that going to affect, assuming Biden wins, the November, December, and two-thirds of January, with decimating the career civil service?
Well, like every bad tenant, he will trash the apartment between the time the sheriff shows up and puts all his stuff out on the lawn. Am I wrong about this? I mean, that's just now, how he is. That's how his mind works.
The other side of that is, when he came into power, he made it a point to remove virtually every executive order from the Obama administration. Now, if Biden comes in and issues a blanket, every executive order of Trump is null and void, would that then return all those civil service positions to the civil service protection, or would their removal continue?
Well, I'm not so sure, Roger, that Trump even has the authority to change the character of any job from a political appointee to a civil service type of position. That's usually done by Congress, and it's based on having a certain pay grade. If you're like I forget what it's called, it's called like the senior executive service or whatever. That's like a political appointment position, you know. But if you're like at a certain part of the pay scale for the feds, I mean, you know, that's senior executive service is what it is. At least it was in the government when I was there. I don't think he has authority to change civil service positions into, you know, political appointed positions.
Well, it was just a thing that came out this last week that he was planning, or via executive order, to take people like Dr. Fauci and remove his civil service protection from him and make him an at-will employee.
So he can fire him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's one thing to write an order, an executive order, but the trick is if it's implemented. Sometimes those things can be methodically slow walked to the point of negating the executive order.
But that takes a civil service that's willing to slow walk it. This logging in the Tongass National Forest that has just been opened up.
Yeah, disgusting.
It's on greased skids. Man, that sucker is going through right now. And the Bristol Bay development is on greased skids.
Well, there
yeah, in Bristol Bay, we're pretty much end salmon fishing in that part of Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely some lawsuits coming to create stays of those actions, I think, Roger. I don't think that anything concrete is going to happen for at least a few months on those. I'd be surprised.
Well, particularly out in the Tongass, the weather's getting kind of shitty to grab your chainsaw and go cut some trees down.
Right. I mean, I guess he wants to, you know, make the Alaska rainforest like, you know, kind of like Bolsonaro's doing down in Brazil, just chop the whole thing down, you know?
Yeah, but now Barack Obama increased Bears Ears National Monument. Yeah. Trump reduced it and put mining in there. Now, because that was done on an executive order, can Biden come back in and simply by executive order give the mining companies 30 days to get all their shit out of there and repair the damage they've done and recreate what Barack Obama did with Bears Ears? I mean, what I'm looking at here is the environmental destruction that Donald Trump has done in the last 4 years has speeded up, if we haven't already reached a tipping point, has put us ever so much closer to it. How fast can Biden eliminate and totally toss out all of Trump's disaster executive orders?
Let's take the mining interest at Bears Ears. I mean, a lot of the ability of a new president's executive order to roll back his predecessors depends on whether the companies have taken acted in reliance on those previous executive orders.
And doesn't that reliance have to be in good faith, Rick?
I mean, that kind of thing.
Doesn't that have to be good faith reliance?
Good faith reliance on the ability of the president the authority of the president to allow me to mine on this land. That seems to be pretty good faith reliance there. You think that the president has that authority? So, I mean, I'm not. Has there been mining in Bears Ears, Roger? Do you know?
I'm sure they've gone in with exploratory bullshit.
Okay. I mean, they probably have bids for the properties to, you know, they probably, you know, divided up the land that was mineable and, you know, maybe offered like leases, mining leases to companies, that kind of thing, like they do in the Gulf of Mexico, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the government has signed leases with companies for plots of land in Bears Ears, the same way they would sign leases for property in the Tongass National Forest. And so based on that lease, the companies go in and start doing work. Well, but the fact that it was done through an executive order, how fast can Biden untie it?
As quickly, effectively, as quickly as he can sign an executive order.
And then all the leases are being terminated, and then they have to sue the government for damages under, you know, in claims court or whatever. make a
and
claim.
And the 360 fucking Trump Republican judges are in charge of it.
Well, it's called contract damages, so they get the, you know, they get the damages they incurred as a result of the government's termination of the early termination of the lease.
Also, well, if I were a lawyer with lots of coin, I would do a countersuit and claim that they donated money to the Republican cause to benefit from theft from the people of the United States, and that they would have to pay back to the United States for the damages incurred on that land because of their corrupt practices to allow them to go in and do the damage.
Well, Roger, the problem is that would fail to state a cause of action. Money is speech in this country, as we know, and it's Citizens United. And it's perfectly within the ability of those companies to lobby their leaders and get those special benefits. It's legalized bribery. It's okay, according to the Supreme Court, more or less.
Legalized corruption.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. It is. So the government would pay damages for whatever, you know, whatever money the companies lost as a result of the lease terminations. You know, that's what would happen.
But can that be limited to actual cost, or do they get to make their lost profit?
It could probably be limited to the actual cost. I don't really know for sure. I mean, I'm sure the companies would argue for the lost profit. That's usually too speculative. It depends, though.
Well, what I'm thinking is that the guy who was driving the cat got paid, okay? Got an hourly wage. Okay. Reimburse the company for his cost. But you still own the cat. Put a load boy in there, put the cat on it, and haul it out. And I don't care what you do with it, but if you bought it special to go into that land, that was your speculative investment because you didn't know whether you were going to find any minerals or not. So we don't need to pay for your speculation. But to pay the guy who operated the cat, okay, we'll pay his wage, but nothing more.
Yeah, and until such time as you start doing the exploring, you don't know if there would have been minerals there. So to say there were minerals there that you weren't able to mine, it is somewhat speculative unless you actually discover them and then can't mine them.
Well, see, this is where I get a little bit of a problem with the idea that, oh, I'm going to charge high interest because it's a risky investment. And then when it turns south, I expect to get all my money back from the government because I took the risk. Well, you took the risk. That's why you get the high interest rate. Screw you. You lost it. Take your dump, man. Lose it. I mean, it's like these investments. There was a real estate investment I got a flyer on the other day of some retail space in Colorado or something, but only qualified investors were allowed to invest. Well, at one time I was a qualified investor. I'm not anymore. But anyhow, that whole thing has to do with, okay, your net worth's over $1 million, blah, 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 blah. And if you lose your investment, it's not going to change your lifestyle. That's a short term for qualified investor. And yet every single one of these things that seems to have to do with the government, these rich assholes seem to get reimbursed for their speculative investment. And I'm a little tired of it.
Understandably so, but it's the devil we live with. Let's see, on the way out the door here, note coming in from Cynthia in the Bay Area. Speaking of naming people, I wonder how many maggots out there can name the members of the Supreme Court, such as it is. I bet damned few. Hell, my older maggot sister, who has already voted early for Trump as he is Jesus, don't you know, did not know who Robert Mueller was in the middle of his investigation. And if you think that's bad, she doesn't even know who Bob Woodward is. Oh, God. I could just scream. And where these environmental toxicities are concerned, Cynthia says, and don't forget about the radioactive waste being shipped to Bears Ears for storage from all over the world. I'm sick about it all. It makes me too angry to call in and join the conversation. I'd be lousy. So, God, I'd read about the radioactive, but they're actually doing it. I imagine I'll probably hear a little. I'll be updated, I hope, by Mike in Cascadia, because he stays on top of all of this. And thank you to Libby as we wrap things up for this evening. And this is a cowbell among cowbells. Thank you to James. James finished off what we had left to go on Robert's Get Bob to the Dentist Challenge. And then some. Thank you so much, James. Thank you, Libby. Thank you, Russell. Thank you, Steve in New York. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Roberto. Thank you, George. Thank you, Joey and Giraffe. Thank you to our anonymous friend. Thanks to everybody who made this October end on an up note. I cannot thank you enough. And so there will be much bill paying going on here in the next couple of days, and we will start a brand new month come Monday. This is going to be I'd say happy Halloween or happy Samhain to our Wiccan friends, but I don't know how much celebrating anybody can do, but there's a full moon tomorrow, and, well, like I said, a presidential election on Tuesday that ends on Tuesday. And let's all just maybe relax this weekend if it's all humanly possible. Take a big, deep breath. Letting go now, letting go. And get ready for what's coming. Guy James will join us Tuesday evening. I'll see if maybe a few other folks might like to jump in. And we'll just see how it all plays out. I cannot thank you all enough for all you do to keep the program on the air. Thanks to our Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you, one and all. Thanks for meeting the rest of the challenge and then some, James. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, no matter what matter, in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky at the chair of honor around the Extraordinary Ordinary Round Table in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And the best place to listen to Malloy is here at headon.live. And this will be my last reference to daylight time until next spring. Yeah, how about that? Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know. The men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe, y'all. Stay home if you can. This is getting worse, not better. Oh, by the way, remember, the back porch will continue once this program ends. Feel free to use the link at headon.live and jump on into the conversation if you want to. Randy reminds us the voting will end on Tuesday. The election won't. Oh, God. Who knows what the next week brings? But we'll be here to talk about it. Stay home if you can. If you have to be out and about, well, wear your mask, wash your hands, carry hand sanitizer with you. Don't touch your face. Just like Paul from Parts Unknown says, maintain your social distance of 10, 15, 20 feet if you can. And, you know, if somebody comes towards you saying, well, I don't know what an Access Hollywood tape is. Avoid her like the plague. Because she is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.